today is Friday, and this morning I taught my 8-year-old and 4-year-old sons TGIF. Not sure if that was a good parenting decision or not, though. We will evaluate in the coming years on whether or not that was a good decision by Daddy. But it is Friday, and thank God it is Friday. Look, very much looking forward to the weekend. Have a wonderful guest on the show today, absolutely one of my favorites in the space. If you follow Will online, he is amazing. But if you get the opportunity to see him, he's also a very compelling speaker, I would tell you. His content is fantastic, and the work that he's done with Success Factors and now SAP is just really, really good stuff. And he always kind of brings a practitioner, you know, here's what we do, here's how we innovate. It's very real. All of his discussions are very much, you know, granted, not in academia, but more in practical applications. So without any further ado, I would say, Will, how are you doing, brother?
Good, William. How are you, sir? It's good to hear your voice again.
TGIF. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. You and I can talk about weather because it's both gorgeous in Austin and in Dallas-Fort Worth. And I'm sure it's horrific somewhere else, but not here. So you're about to brace for a lot of new friends. Austin's about to start off South by Southwest, which is a lot of different festivals. And for folks that have never been, they probably don't understand that. It's film, it's academia, it's EDU, it's the interactive part, it's music, it's all kinds of different things. I've probably missed a couple of different parts of it, but you and I tend to really spend a lot of time on the interactive side because it's where our brethren is. You got a bunch of new friends coming into town next week?
New and old. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, this is like, for me, it's like tech spring break. A lot of good, thought sharing and innovation, looking at new technologies and how they apply. But, you know, all of our friends that are what I would see people at the forefront, really thought leaders in recruiting and HR tech, all come together. It usually starts at TalentNet, Craig Fisher's thing, and Dice True, which is going to be on the first day of South by Southwest Interactive next Friday, so a week from today. So we're looking forward to that. I'll be speaking at that and then moderating a true unconference session later in the evening with Brian Chaney, and then that will be followed with a panel, and then we'll do awesome live band karaoke. And then we usually all, as you know, William, kind of go to some of the parties and hang out. It's kind of like where all your industry friends come together and we get to have a blast in downtown Austin. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Awesome. What's been top of mind for you these days? What's keeping you up at night?
Other than a 10-month-old who's teething, what's keeping me up at night is technology integrations and really blending the world of strategic hiring goals and employer branding. And that's really the world I'm living in right now, is not just employer branding for the employer branding standpoint, but really tying in a content-focused strategy to employer brand and recruitment marketing into actual strategic hiring goals of our company. And to me, that's really taking two worlds that previously did not exist together and molding them together to create measurable, actionable results for some things that you're spending money on and some things like social that you're spending time on.
Well, let's talk teething first, because I'm kind of past that. What strategies have you figured out for teething? I mean, I'm sure you got a bunch of advice. This is when you get all the unsolicited advice, stuff like that. But how have you figured it out now that you're in the throes of teething? What are you doing to address it?
We haven't. Mommy, that's the answer. breastfeeding seems to be the only thing to calm that baby down. No, but really it's been, it hasn't been too bad. He seems to kind of get those fevers when he's teething and wake up in the middle of the night. So it's kind of tough. We're trying to balance between the nurture and the, you know, let him soothe himself kind of thing right now.
Yeah, they've got to build that mechanism where they can take care of it themselves. And that, the man, the hearing him crying and going through fevers, there's nothing worse, man.
It's a high-pitched scream. It's like like their world is just ending or something. And you know, my wife wants to immediately go in and nurture him and soothe him back to sleep. But I'm thinking, well, he's getting 10 months now. We're only encouraging the behavior at this point, so we'll see how it goes. I hear he'll grow out of it. I think he's got two at the top and two at the bottom now, so he's starting to get used to it.
Nice. So one of the things we talked about during pre-show, that back to employer branding, that I thought was really, really compelling, is kind of why we think it fails. And you had mentioned a bit about content. Take us back to that. Like, why do you, when you look at the brands that are in the space, why do you think that we haven't had as much advancement in employer brand as we should have?
Because I think what's happening is we have this convergence with, you know, recruiting and with digital marketing. And, you know, for the past history of the recruiting industry, you know, their online or, you know, or digital marketing really went as far as job board, job descriptions. Even before that, maybe a small text ad in a newspaper. They're not that advanced. HR has been kind of slow to other industries from a marketing standpoint. And I think what we have now is, to do employer branding well, you need to treat your employer brand and your recruiting marketing very similarly to how your corporate marketing team treats how they do product marketing. It's got to be a multi-channel approach, and you have to focus on targeted digital marketing. I mean, we've got social technologies now that allow us to now, you know, advertise the culture at your company and specific teams and roles that you're hiring for directly just to the very people that would be relevant to those jobs. But what some of these companies are lacking is the skill sets within their teams to do that, because the fact of the matter is that you could say most recruiters are salespeople, but it's very hard to say that most recruiters are marketing people. And it really takes both the outbound efforts of those recruiters, but also that talent attraction piece. And that takes content, and content is expensive. It can be, if you don't have the internal resources. Then you have to start outsourcing that stuff to agencies, and you're spending like $60,000 on three employer branding videos, when if you just hired an internal content producer, you could produce 100 videos a month for $70,000 a year. So it's really thinking about outside the traditional, what a traditional recruiting team looks like and a talent acquisition organization looks like, and starting to add other skill sets in there. So like what I've done historically in my career, both at VMware and SuccessFactors and now over at SAP, is I've built sort of a mini digital agency within TA. So I'm part of recruiting leadership, and I understand what our recruiting goals are, what our strategic hiring initiatives are, but I also manage a team of, you know, a videographer, and a community manager at least, that helps us build talent pools, both our internal talent community but social communities as well. And this takes resources. I see a lot of companies who are trying to share this responsibility amongst their recruiters, where they have recruiters who are already very busy people on their side time, kind of helping with the career Facebook page or helping with the Twitter. And what happens is they're not devoting enough time and engagement that's needed to build those communities well, or to create good enough content that's actually appealing to their audience. So what you have is you have a lot of companies rushing to do employer branding and social recruiting, and it's falling flat because their feed is full of just, you know, job postings and really bland content. So what happens is you're starting to treat a new medium like an old medium. So new medium being social, which is content-focused, engagement-focused, conversation-focused, versus the old medium, job boards and job posting sites, which are just about, you know, about as engaging as, you know, something that's not engaging at all. Okay, so that's why you see this shift away from job boards and more to social technology. You've got Monster buying up social job distribution and social sourcing tools like crazy this week, and Workday doing the same thing. So what's happening is these companies just aren't prepared and don't have the resources to build it quickly.
All right. So your best friend from college just took a position with a NewCo, high growth type of company, and they have absolutely no employer brand, and it's not their experience. What advice do you give them?
Leverage your employees. I mean, there's so much things that you can do that don't cost budget right away to start to jumpstart this, and then you can scale as you go. So I've got friends, I have that exact scenario. I have a really good friend I used to work with that started recently at a very high growth, fast startup, but they don't really have an employer brand. So I've been kind of helping this person with doing that, and it started with having them really talk to the people at their company that are that love what they're doing, are excited about the work they're doing, and help them tell their story. Tell your employees stories. It can be very interesting, believe it or not, to even people who are not actively looking for a job. And when you're out there and you're sharing stories, but you're also adding value. So sharing, if you're a recruiter, sharing tips about, you know, your resume or interview tips, things that even people not looking for a job who may be interested in how to better their career as they go through it would want to know about. So really, make yourself a content publishing engine for your company. And what it does, it's kind of multi-pronged. One, it helps attract talent in your company. But two, it humanizes your overall company's brand. So it actually can help feed revenue to your company beyond just hiring good talent, you know, by humanizing that brand. So there's things that you can do, like just getting your employees to blog or empowering your employees to talk about their experiences and facilitating a community for them to do that, which really doesn't take very much, you know, effort and resources, can really be a good start, you know, and starting on things like, you know, a Facebook, a Twitter, or a Pinterest, things that don't cost annually, like maybe a LinkedIn recruiter license or LinkedIn brand page would, you know, especially in the startup world, can really help you get your feet off the ground.
What role does iconography, imagery, video, audio, Instagram, you know, all of that stuff, what role does that play in the employer brand?
It plays the role of, you know, of being where people are hanging out. It's like we've shifted away from just being present from an employer standpoint, where places that active candidates are looking, and I've realized that this is something that everybody experiences in their life, looking for a job, thinking about their career move. So it's okay for us to play around in the consumer space where they are. So to me, like Instagram, that role is about literally giving a window into the day-to-day culture and life at your company. It's not like a link to a job and then you trying to track how you're getting hires from Instagram. It's very much about just socializing, you know, what life at your company's like. You know, kind of just giving a window into the experience in a creative way. And it's pretty easy to do. You empower a few employees at your offices to share that Instagram handle and take some cool photos around the office, or when you're out doing you know, some team building events or things like that, right? So the role for me is that's an employer branding socializing of your company's day-to-day story and experience, employer experience, and that to me, that's really the central role of something like an Instagram.
So talk to us a little bit about procession and as an example of what do we want candidates to feel, that experience? Like, what do we want them, how do we carefully orchestrate how they feel when they interact with us?
That's a good question. And because that's when you start getting into the lines of, are we just positive, and do we keep putting on – and I think we do this personally on social media, right? You always put your best face forward on social. Though, I don't know, I follow you, William, on social. I love how transparent you are. But most people – and I think I'm the same way – but most people on social just post, like, the good stuff. And I think that that makes sense from an employer branding standpoint too, but we should be a little transparent about who we are as well. So opening up that dialogue to go both ways, and really, the idea should be to make the people feel, make your audience feel like your company is a place that employs a certain kind of culture, and there's something unique about your company's mission and about the feel of what it's like to work there. And these are two things. There's one, there's a feel. You walk into an office and you just get sort of an aura about the place and the culture. You can either you walk into different corporate offices or startups, and you can feel the excitement of the people there. Or maybe that office has some really cool perks, like there's free snacks and stuff like that. That's something you kind of want to highlight. That's something that someone working there would benefit from on a day-to-day basis. But then you have the mission of the company or the product of the company. That is also, you want people to feel like everyone's working towards the same mission and it's infused into everything else. So your values and culture as a company should relate to where the direction from a business standpoint you're going, and you should be able to show that through dynamic content, not just writing it in a blurb at the front top of a job description, but literally showing it through interviewing your own employees, through doing fun videos that excite your audience to make them feel and really to educate them on what it's like. Because nowadays, people, and especially early talent, and I know a big focus for us at SAP is on early talent wants, they want to know, and they now represent 47% of the workforce. They want to know what it's kind of like to work somewhere before they do. It's a big decision to go work somewhere, right? Before it was kind of like I call it the dark era. When job boards and newspapers were the only way to find a job, it was kind of, you didn't really know what it's going to be like to work there until you got there, and the employer didn't know much about you until you got there. So you had a lot more retention, but now, if you really focus in on the front end of your talent attraction, if you show dynamic content and tell stories of really what it's like to be there, organically the people that match with that culture and that product and that company's mission are going to gravitate to your company, and the people that don't fit that culture or skill set won't. So it's like an organic filter, so that the people that come into your company are, from the very beginning when they were just researching you, get infused with your brand and who you are, and are a better fit and end up staying longer at your company. And now we're starting to be able to gather data to prove that.
So I got to ask about a mobile. Where does mobile, outside of the myth and the hype and, all that stuff, just get right down to what you see? Because both you have an interesting role. You both play the role of the practitioner. At the same time, you're also working for one of the largest, HR and recruiting software companies in the world. So you kind of have your hands in both sides of this. So what is mobile like now, from a recruiting standpoint, and what do you think the future of mobile recruiting looks like?
I think, honestly, our industry is so behind from a mobile standpoint that I think we even had a discussion on Facebook about this. It's kind of like, what's a a must-have for our industry from a mobile perspective versus what's a nice-to-have. To me, like a must-have for mobile is you must at least have your jobs available to be searched and found from a mobile device, because 40% of candidates are doing who are actively searching for jobs are doing it from mobile devices. And in some emerging markets, in some countries, like in APJ, mobile devices are the only devices they have to get on the internet, right? So it's like an only mobile strategy in some of those areas, right? So if you, at the very basic of the company, do not have a mobile-enabled career site, you are behind. Do you need to have mobile apply? I honestly don't think so. I mean, officially applying into most companies requires some paperwork, right? It requires uploading a resume or a cover letter, which for most people, unless they know how to utilize Dropbox on their mobile phone to upload documents on websites, it's kind of a clunky experience. So you should at least be able to search and start and apply on mobile, and then be able to finish it later on from a desktop. Though honestly, the great benefit of cloud software is it's within a browser. If you've got a big enough mobile screen like an iPad, you can do the full version for a company that has maybe like that's using maybe the SuccessFactors ATS and do all that as long as you've got a resume on your device. Or parse it. You can do the apply with LinkedIn as well, which our ATS does, that just parses your LinkedIn profile to fill out that information.
So the future of employer brand, you look out 15 years from now, and I want you to put on that cap, that what does it really look like then?
The future of employer branding?
Yeah.
I think it looks like transparency. I think you've got things like Glassdoor that allows for anonymous discussions about what it's like to work for. But I think the future of employer branding are companies relaxing or at least coming to the understanding that they don't actually own their employer brand. Their employees do, because they're out there talking about it. And if you're a company who's not doing much with employer branding right now, just know that your employees are out there telling people what it's like to work at your organization. So I think what you're going to have in the future, at least where I hope it goes, is that more companies get aware, and maybe they team up closer with their marketing departments to do employer branding better, to really show what it's like to work at a place. And maybe some marketing departments will start to understand that who they are as an employer is almost just as important as who they are as a vendor or as who they are to their customers, right? Because a lot of times your customers are your candidates. So for me, I really hope and I really think the future of employer branding will be where it's not a thing anymore. It's just a part of how you recruit people and how you brand your company.
You're so far ahead of most of the people in the market. There's a handful of y'all, you know, the Chris Hoyts, the Shannon Smith said, there's, I would say that there's probably 20 people in our space that are 3 years ahead of everyone else. How do you stay, you're not engaged because I know you're engaged, but how do you stay inspired? Like, what do you do on a daily basis to keep thinking, keep pushing, and keep thinking ahead of everyone else?
Failing. I keep failing. I keep trying things and completely failing. And that's how, and then also surrounding yourself. I think you're right. There's like 20 people at some of the premier employers really doing this stuff, and we're all friends. We all share with each other. We collaborate with each other. We come together in Austin here once a year for our own little unconference and networking, and we share. I mean, because I honestly do, I put myself out there, and I speak, and I enjoy speaking and sharing strategies, because I'm not worried about my competitor trying the same thing, because if they do the strategies that I'm doing, inevitably it's going to come out different because it's different to work at one company than another, even if you're using the same strategies to tell that or to attract talent. Essentially, someone's going to be a fit for your organization or not, right? So I think, and that's what I love about all these other people, like the Lars Schmitz and the Brian Chaneys and the Chris Hoyts, is I think they feel the same way, that we share and inspire each other, and one tries thing or and the other does it as well, and together as an we all try to help catch up the industry, and I think there should be more of us. I think more companies should hire people that are recruiting practitioners, but also are marketers, and they're what Jessica Miller Merrill on Blogging for Jobs recently said are the now generation, the people who could be 50 years old or they could be 22 years old, but they get the technology that's being used today. They understand digital marketing and they understand social, right? We need to get more people like that in the recruiting and HR field.
Well, it also seems like you also have to have a support team above you. You know, it's like you're a misfit. Let's just call a spade a spade. You're an absolute misfit. And the thing is about misfits is they've got to have people that insulate them. This is the Jerry Crispin story at J&J. You've got to have people that, you know, around you and above you and whatnot that let you fail. Because, you know, it's not enough to know social and the tools and care and all that other stuff, but if your boss is a douche and doesn't want you to ever fail, you're not going to innovate. So
that's so true. Yeah.
Right. So I, even without knowing who you're, you know, the people that are around you, you have to have a supporting cast. Is that am I off? Am I missing something?
That's 100% correct. In fact, that's probably the most important thing. Executive sponsorship, someone high up that gets it is extremely important. You can't do it without it. I was very lucky. I started doing this at VMware, and there wasn't really a role. I actually was interviewing for a sourcing position at VMware, and in the interview, I was just kind of having a conversation with the head of sourcing for VMware, and said, you know, what if I, you know, instead of just sourcing, what if I help build sort of a social strategy. Social media was always something I loved doing. I used it no matter what job I did. If you know, and you know me, William, I use it in my own personal life. I mean, it's the way I post to my wife, you know, lots of things. And I got to talking to him, like, how could we kind of create sort of a new type of position? And he was like, yeah, let's do that. Like, you know, like, it's a risk. We don't even have a legal job code for such a job within recruiting, but let's do it. And then, you know, within 2-3 years, all these other companies started having a position like that as well. And he let me make mistakes and let me fail. I was posting pictures of about the Friday beer bashes on Facebook, and you'd had some people in the company go, no, you shouldn't be posting about how we drank at the office. And then others going, heck yeah, that's truly what it's like here. Why wouldn't we? And we started to learn that it was okay to take more risks, and executives started being, this is actually working out for us. You know, I remember my boss really early in my career saying, you know, Will, you're kind of a renegade. I don't know really how to control you. I don't know whether you're going to be my boss or get fired, but I honestly don't know how to take it apart. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing. And so I kept doing that, and I was lucky to have the same sort of boss when I got recruited away from VMware to SuccessFactors, who was the head of recruiting at the company and just got it and wanted and gave me the freedom to do what I want to do. And I think SAP is starting to head that way as well. They hired Matthew Jeffrey, a thought leader in this recruiting space, and he's heading up the employer branding team that I'm now a part of over there as well. So me and him are having fun working together, trying to really do some disruptive type marketing for recruiting and TA and sourcing strategies. So it's been a lot of fun. Yes,
awesome. Absolutely.
A leader that gets it is the only way to successfully do it at any kind of fast pace.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. It's a wrap. The greatness of Will Stanie. Thank you, my friend. We are out of time, and we're going to get on with the rest of our afternoon. Brother, have a wonderful afternoon, and enjoy all of Interactive, and we're going to go out to a little ZZ Top. Thanks, Will. Bye.
Rumor spreading round in that Texas town about the shack outside the games. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that whole mile.